Welcome to worship from Daleville Christian Church. May the Heavenly Father use this worship to connect with you as our Lord willed, demonstrated in sending Jesus of Nazareth as Messiah, Christ. May you find that relationship with our Lord that our Lord has wanted for you through Jesus Christ. We offer an affirmation of our faith when we gather, and this one from the letter to the churches in and around the Greek city of Ephesus, the second chapter, what we call the Ephesians, which also proclaims this Jesus who has come to us and for us. He, Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. The reading of God's word for today is from Luke chapter 8. And we're reading verse 42b, and I don't like to do that, but I'll explain why I'm doing that. 42b through verse 48. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at Jesus' feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I have discussed this report in Luke for you more than once. I know that. This report, or a similar report, occurs in Mark and Matthew's Gospels as well. So why am I coming back to this report on Jesus' healing of a suffering woman? Well, the easy answer is that it fits in with our Lenten theme of healing, but there is way more going on here than a healing story. As a matter of fact, I may be irritating one of my old professors by cutting up this report. This portion about this woman is part of a larger report concerning the synagogue leader. He's named Jairus in two of the gospel accounts, Jairus and his daughter, who was gravely ill. But rarely has any congregation cried out for a longer sermon, please. So until that happens, I'm cutting this report into two pieces. And I've also already preached on the Jairus portion of this report more than once. I believe that what we will discover is that this woman's faith is rather astounding. Jesus, if we read the whole report, Jesus is on an emergency run. Well, it would be an emergency for anyone else. It certainly was an emergency for Jairus and Jairus' family. Jesus never shows up late anywhere, does he? But you and I might believe that Jesus never shows up late anywhere, and Jesus knew that, but not everyone around Jesus knew that at the time. But just remember that everyone present at that moment in this report believed that Jesus was on an emergency run back to Jairus' house. That is how, that's how our portion of the report begins saying or reading, as Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. Who are the crowds? As Luke tells it, Jesus had just gotten back from a mission trip on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is a large lake. Apparently, a whole crowd knew that he was over there, and they were waiting for Jesus' return with Jesus' disciples. So that's one crowd, plus Jesus and the disciples. Now, Jairus was there. Jairus might have been waiting for Jesus' return, or this is where Jairus knew Jesus' last known location and had just arrived to get a hold of Jesus and take him back to Jairus' house. It's possible that Jairus was not alone, but maybe he was. Luke does not say. But Jairus was seeking Jesus for this emergency that Jairus revealed and enlisted Jesus for, his gravely ill daughter. Now, another person showed up, a woman. Luke and Matthew and Mark gave us a bunch of intimate details on this lady, but none of them give us her name. Her intimate detail is that she is hemorrhaging. Now, anyone can hemorrhage, and whenever anyone hemorrhages, it's not good. If you're hemorrhaging, you're leaking, losing blood, with all the problems that blood loss can cause, weakness, fatigue, which can even cause trouble with balance and walking. Your body may have trouble keeping enough oxygen going through your system. If you have a hemorrhage in your brain, you'd have a host of other problems. Now, the Old Testament has rules about anyone with a hemorrhage. Leviticus chapter 15. Leviticus chapter 15 mentions discharges of any kind. Now, I don't want to go into medical details, but basically anything your doctor might be concerned about with regard to bodily fluids, that's what the Old Testament is talking about. Even fluid flows we are not concerned about in the 21st century, like a seeping wound, perfectly normal part of the healing process. The Old Testament says that it makes you unclean. You are ceremonially unclean, and there are plenty of activities you may not participate in. And since you are unclean, often anything you touch or use is also unclean. And therefore, a clean person touching the same item the unclean person touched, that's right, the clean person becomes unclean. This woman we read about probably lived in isolation of some sort, because otherwise anyone in close contact with her or any of her stuff would be unclean. So this pandemic now helps us understand this woman's problems. The woman has physical symptoms, no doubt, and the woman has problems associated with isolation because she's socially isolated. She probably has some mental health problems or on the verge of them. Since the woman has had this medical problem for years, she had a pre-existing condition, her problems are considered chronic. This woman is what doctors might have called a tough case, maybe even a complicated illness. Her physical health is fragile, and I would imagine that her mental health is pretty fragile also. The woman had apparently enlisted other people, we can assume medical professionals, to help her, and Luke says no one could heal her. Now the woman had come to Jesus. Well, the woman hadn't exactly come to Jesus, the woman had come up behind Jesus. Remember that. The woman came up behind Jesus. And you're thinking, okay, Pastor, what's your point? Well, let's think about what's going through this woman's mind and heart. The woman was humble, right? The woman was meek. She was not going to interfere with Jesus. The woman was not going to interrupt Jesus. The woman didn't think that she had to ask permission to be healed. The woman didn't even think she had to ask to be healed. The woman didn't believe that she had to fill out any paperwork to be healed. The woman didn't think that there would be any requirements like praying or fasting or following a strict diet or attending a pre-healing class with a pastor or synagogue leader. The woman didn't believe that she would have to be anointed or be touched by Jesus directly, even. Do you realize what all that means? It means that the woman believed that God wanted to heal the woman. The woman believed that God wanted to heal that woman. It means that the woman believed that God's Messiah already wanted to heal her. She wouldn't have to ask. The woman believed that all she had to do was touch something, touching the healer. She wouldn't have to say a word. Touch something, touching the healer, and she believed she would be healed. And she was healed. I confess to you, my faith is not where this woman's faith was. She'd been suffering with this same hemorrhaging condition for 12 years. And after 12 years, she was still ready to believe that God was going to heal her. And this woman was so sure of it, she didn't even have to ask for or ask permission to receive healing. God's Messiah had come to her neck of the woods so that all she had to do was touch something, touching the healer, and she would be healed. And she was healed completely. I don't want to preach about myself, but I have trouble believing God wants to heal me after my first hour of pain or distress. This woman had her problem for 12 years. And when Messiah was in the area, the woman went to the healer to touch his robe. The gospel writers have one more part of this report to relate. Jesus spoke, "Someone touched me," or "Who touched me?" Friends, you know and I know that Jesus not only knew that he was touched to heal, but Jesus knew perfectly well who touched him. So why did Jesus ask the question? Jesus asked the question for the sake of the crowd, for you and me. Jesus asked that question for the woman's sake as well. Jesus didn't need to hear anything from this woman. Jesus knew this woman's heart. It was everyone else who was there that day. The crowd needed to hear the woman's answer to Jesus' question. The woman also needed to give voice to the faith that was in her. The woman had to testify to herself and everyone who was there her faith. Verse 47, in the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched Jesus and how she had been instantly healed. I don't know if you have experienced this, but sometimes we don't understand ourselves until we say things out loud. Because we have to organize the thought into language, words, and voice to speak them. That makes it more solid in our heads. This woman needed to hear herself speaking her great faith, which up to that point, she might not have been fully aware of. Now, one more thing. Jesus asked, as I mentioned, who touched me? And Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. Peter was saying, Lord, we're all touching you. We can't help it. We're walking quickly, talking, jostling. Jesus was stating clearly there are different kinds of touch. There are touches that can hurt and touches that can heal. Although Jesus was also getting jostled by the crowd, Jesus knew, I know that power has gone out from me. That is the touch that Jesus was asking about. That one. This detail of Luke's report is there for a reason. Luke is letting us know there's a difference between being in front of Jesus or being next to Jesus or in Jesus' presence. There's a difference between that and having faith in Jesus. It isn't enough to go to Jesus. That's what Luke is pointing out to us. It's not enough to go to Jesus. You need to have faith in Jesus. There's a big difference between showing up and having faith. Now, friends, hear me. Please hear this. I am not preaching today about how you can be healed. This sermon is not about how you can be healed. Please don't make this sermon about you. This sermon is about God. Faith and healing is not the question here. The question is, what do you believe about God? You see, many people have a real trouble believing that God cares about them. This woman mastered that question, and she mastered the question excellently. After 12 years of suffering, she was still ready to believe that God not only cared about her, but God was going to heal her. Indeed, the woman believed that God already wanted to heal her, never mind the 12 years of bleeding. I told you again last week about the young man of faith with the serious illness who wondered out loud to me if God was punishing him with this illness. By the time that young man came closer to his time of going to God, he was assured that the Lord did indeed care about him and his condition, never mind the terminal illness. I read again a passage from a book I had read before, and that book quoted a book I had also read. It too is a true story of a woman whose life unraveled. By the time the woman got in front of a pastor, she was broke, drunk, bulimic, depressed, and addicted. She confessed, "I can no longer even imagine how God could love me. I can no longer even imagine how God could love me." For this woman, the whole idea of God's love was beyond even her imagination. She told the pastor, "I'm so messed up, I don't think that God can love me." The pastor's response surprised the woman, but it also helped save her. The pastor told the woman, "God has to love you. It's God's job to love you." For some reason, many of us go back to thinking that God's love is about us rather than about God. God does not love us upon approval. God wants to love us. God decided long ago to love us. It is God's will to love you. The woman who hemorrhaged for 12 years might have thought she had proof that God didn't love her. And there would have been at least a couple of Pharisees, I'm sure, who would have helped her believe her illness was proof that God didn't love her. Or that she had some unconfessed sin was why she was still sick in year 7. Or one or two of the Pharisees might have told the woman she didn't have enough faith, and that's why she was still suffering in year 5, or year 8, or year 9, or year 12. But the woman never gave in to those thoughts about God. The woman never gave in to those thoughts about God. When God came to that woman's neighborhood in Jesus of Nazareth, she went. The woman went to come up behind Jesus. So am I saying it takes more faith to sneak up on Jesus? Well, it takes more faith than I have to sneak up on Jesus. I do know that. We keep asking the question as to whether God loves us. We keep wondering if God can love us even in Jesus, even through Jesus. Can God love us? But it isn't an open debate God decided a long time ago to love you and me. Jesus came to the meek. Jesus came to the humbled. Jesus came to the bleeding, the hemorrhaging, the unclean, the sinners. Jesus came too, and Jesus came for the Pharisees too, but only a few of them were ever able to see it. The question is, can you see it? Do you see that Jesus has come for you? There is a lot of healing there. Verse 48, then Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Amen.